Our first Bible reading is from Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And our second reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is the word of the Lord.
So the very alert among you will have noticed that I've already abandoned going paperless. And I've brought even more paper than ever this week. Hopefully next time back to the iPad, but reliant on paper today. Good evening. Now stay awake. Tim's made sure you're alert. And we've got stuff to think about. So I've got a little three-step talk so that you know where we're going. And the subject for this evening is about stress at work. Now, I was speaking to somebody this morning who's in a far more senior position than I've ever been in. You will know that I've not been a great career person. I've not scaled the heights of any organisation, but I have worked in a lot of places. But the perspectives from different positions are very different. And so it may be that you're sitting here thinking, well, what could she possibly know about my coalface job tomorrow morning? But I've picked some pointers that I think are helpful for all of us, and I trust that in the middle of all of this, you'll find something that'll be really helpful. So let's just commit it to God, and let's just ask God to open our hearts now to reflect on where we are and on what we need. So we thank you, Lord, that we come to you as our Father in a position of confidence, that you love us, that you've brought about your kingdom so that we can see more of your kingdom at work, at home, in church and at work, that you have put your spirit in us, that you have a purpose for us and that you go ahead of us. So, Father, would you speak to us tonight? Amen. Amen. Now, the lovely Renee, or who is at the desk, is that Renee still? It's going to guess which page is which, I think, as we go through this. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a bit of a scope of the problem. So what is the problem of stress at work? What does it look like? What does it sound like? What are some of the issues around it? A couple of models that are really helpful. I love diagrams. And then we're going to go to Scripture and listen to those two passages that Denise has read for us and just pick from those some really helpful truths that will apply whatever our situation. And then I've got five P's because my husband's here and he loves things that fit together with the same letter. So I worked really hard on that new wine this week and I've come up with five P's for us. But they've all got brackets with things with other letters in because it doesn't quite work. But I did my best. So just to scope the problem and just to say, you may be thinking, well, I don't go to work. But I bet there's nobody here who doesn't do some work. You may be thinking, well, work's actually not that stressful for me because really I just do a job that just pays the bills and I don't really like it very much. I just go when I come home again. And I've been in that position. I managed to turn a lowly factory job into a kind of weekly challenge at one point in my life because it was so boring. I had to do something and I set myself little targets all the time and rather sadly put out of work the other agency girl that was taken on when I was because I was so competitive. But even in that ordinary job, does God have a purpose? Does God have something to say? And I really do believe that he does. But you may be somebody struggling with your own business or struggling with a leadership role. That's a real challenge. And again, these principles will be really helpful, I trust. So I just want to just direct us to a couple of sources that are really helpful. And the first is just to say that Mind have produced a really good leaflet. And if you've come especially tonight because stress is a big deal for you, have a look. You don't have to Google very much. Just mind.org/stress. There's a really good, really simple leaflet. And it says these things about the causes of stress. Stress is caused by being under lots of pressure, facing lots of changes. Some of you work for organizations, for example, with the local authority, where every couple of years somebody new is your boss. The badges change, the managers change, the pay rates change. Really stressful. Stress is caused by worrying about something. If you've done something wrong at work and you're worried you're going to be found out, that's incredibly stressful. Stressed by not having much control over things, the things you can't change. You don't control the outcome of a situation. You've got responsibilities that are too big and you don't know what to do with them. You don't have enough work. Sounds an odd one, but I had a job like this once, and it's incredibly stressful going to work and not having enough to do, because you want to prove yourself. You want to earn your position. You want to have something to say to people. And if you're sitting at an empty desk and no work is coming your way, that's incredibly stressful. So there might be, and this is on the next page, there might be lots of things that are causing you bits of stress. And they just one by one add to that pool of stress around you. There may be one major thing that suddenly happens. I spoke to a friend at New Wine this week. She had a job, an administrative job, for which she was highly gifted and highly qualified and very, very competent. But she described a process over a few months where bit by bit things were getting more and more difficult, and she was aware that she was struggling. And one day, one more thing changed, and she had a breakdown. Looking back, she can see all the warnings were there. And she doesn't really know why this one thing made all the difference, but there was this pile of things and the final straw that kind of knocked her over. And she's spent a few months now kind of recovering and finding a different way to work. And I just put a question at the bottom. Is it stress or is it pressure? Because actually some of us thrive under pressure. Pressure can be good. Pressure makes stuff. I worked for Alcan Extrusions when I was about 18. Alcan puts pressure on aluminium and it turns it into stuff. It's great. Pressure can do great things to us in the right place, in the right time, with support. I have recently learned that if you run away from pressure, you don't grow so fast as if you sit under it. So pressure is not always stress. But sometimes if you're living with pressure a long time, you can get stressed about it. And then this little diagram I think is really helpful. I've got a thermometer version of this in my mind, but I really like this one. Because this tells us that actually it's good to have some stress, some stretch, some things that aren't easy, because that's what makes us grow. You can't read all of that, I know, from the back. But I'm just asking these questions. If we just go for comfort at work, so I've done that. There have been seasons in our life where ministry has been pressurized. And so I've picked a job that I think I can do that's not overly challenging, because I need my energy, my resource for ministry. So I've had a simpler job. That can work sometimes. But in that comfort zone, you don't grow, because you can just do it with your eyes shut. You can just go in and turn out the work. So where's the sort of satisfaction in that? But if you take a step up, if you get stretched, if you offer to do somebody else's work, if you try something different, if you go and speak to your manager and say, could I do this because I've got plenty of time, could you be stretched in that sense? What the experts say is that we need a certain amount of stretch in our lives, and people's theories will differ, and we will differ. But if we don't live with some stretch in our life, something pushing us a little bit, we're not going to grow. The problem is if we live with stretch in all areas of our life and it doesn't let up. And that moves into this red zone. Now, because of where this source is, they've called that the panic zone. But you'll see it's also got that stressed word in it. And if you live in that stressed zone for too long, that stress can become illness and ill health and really seriously affect your well-being. So no pressure, comfortable, maybe we don't grow very much. Some pressure, bit of challenge, bit of growth, bit of stretching, bit of learning, bit of trusting God. Too much pressure, stress, damage, illness. Too much stress. I'm going to say this again at the end. Needs support and it needs help. And this is a lovely diagram. It's been stolen from a book and quoted by James Lawrence, but Steve's got it on his drive, so we think it's okay to use it. And this is about causes of stress and how to respond. And if you imagine yourself as that spring. So here we are, we're all little springs sitting here. Some of us are under a little bit of pressure, so there's a little pull on the spring. Some of us aren't under any pressure at all.
Some of us are sitting here today thinking the pressure on me is like if anybody adds one more load to this spring, it's going to break. And that's what that picture helps us to see, helps us to have a look. What are those pressures on the string? Well, I'm just going to go through the five things that are underneath there. Just give us a quick example before we move on. So pressure could be caused by change. I've already mentioned takeover, changing staff, change of manager. You've just started a new job. Change adds a bit of tension to the spring. The two really interesting ones, I think, are the demands of other people and the demands of ourselves. Living up to somebody else's expectations in the job, particularly if you've blagged it at interview. Anybody ever done that? You've blagged it a bit? Never. Women apparently do this far less than men. I think statistically, women will fill in an application form and kind of slightly big themselves up. Women will go, no, I can't really do that, and they'll just leave it blank. The problem comes when you actually turn up to do that job, doesn't it? And you've said, yeah, I can manage a team, and I can multitask, and I can grow the business, and I can make more money. Then you get in the job, and you've actually got to do it. So the demands of other people are expecting that of you, but also of yourself. And somewhere in that demand on ourselves is a bit of comparison, a bit of lack of confidence about whether God's really put us there or what we're going to do. Number four, lack of clear calling. Are we in a job and we're not really sure what on earth we're doing there? That adds to stress because then we don't have a motive that keeps us going when things get tough. And then conflict and isolation. You don't get on with your colleagues at work. It's been a common theme in groups that I've been in over the years. And you find yourself isolated, just having to grit your teeth and go to work and get your job done. But you're isolated and you can't share. That's a really tough place to be and need support. And in that sort of setting, the fight and flight response wakes up in us. Our body responds physically and we become stressed. One of the challenges of conflicts that I've been aware of, and some of you who are in the healthcare will know of this, but you might know about this in business as well, is that ethical conflict where something is happening and you're not happy about it. And you begin to think, what am I going to do? I'm not happy about this. How am I going to work with this? It happened for me in a really unpleasant way in an office in a college. I was teaching in a college. I had a new office mate to share with who was a lecturer in a new department, and she hated me as soon as she discovered I was a Christian, even though I promise I never preached at her. And she asked me one day to lie on a form for her. And I knew that if I didn't, she was going to be vile. And I was trapped in a room with her, but I couldn't do it. So I wouldn't. I was asked to sign that I'd known her for 3 years. I'd known her for 6 months. I couldn't sign it. I told her I couldn't sign it. I came back the next week and all my books were on the floor. My desk had gone. She'd claimed my space. She dared me to do something about it. Stress at work when you get cut off can be a real big deal, can't it? And James in this image offers us three solutions. And we're going to look at scripture in a minute and then unpick a little bit of what they might look like. We can strengthen that spring. There's lots of things we can do as Christians to strengthen ourselves, and I'm going to say a bit more about that later. But you can also strengthen it by learning the skills that are needed. If we're floundering in an area of our work, do we need to go somewhere and learn a bit more about how to do it better? Do we need to ask somebody who's gone ahead of us? Do we need to find a mentor or something like that? Do we need to look at our whole life patterns and routines and strengthen ourselves by recovering better between periods of busyness? What about reducing the weights, particularly those two things about our expectations and the expectations of others? If I've been given too much to do and I know I can't do it, the sensible thing to do is to say so. And it's pride often that stops us. We want to look like we can do it all, don't we? But actually, to have that conversation with a good manager, and I've had that with Steve a couple of times, good manager, I've gone to him and said, Steve, I've got this to do this week, I can't do it all. And the very lovely response is sometimes, I'll do that for you. And he'll take sometimes the hard bit. I know not in the workplace, I don't know if your managers are like that, but there's nothing wrong with having that open conversation where you set it out and say, I've got this, and this. You've asked me to do this week. We need to talk about where our priorities are. Let's get it in the open. Thinking about our triggers, deadlines. Who's not a deadline person? Who is? I don't know. Who only works at the last minute? Looking at the front row, because I know some of you very well. I can't work without some pressure, so I need pressure. But if I leave it too late, that pressure becomes stress and I can't write or think, which is what happens when you're stressed. So deadlines can be quite tricky to negotiate, can't they? Yeah, Matthew, they can. And then he talks about getting support, getting help, owning up, to that sense of in ourselves that perhaps that would show us up, actually owning up to somebody saying, do you know what, I'm struggling here, makes a huge difference. So let's have a look at the Bible passage. I've got it on the screen, but I can't read that, so I'm going to read it from this again and just have a look. Because what I want us to know, and I think this is really important, is when we think about our life at work, we don't look at Jesus as somebody who doesn't know what we're talking about. Jesus' ministry and life is not separate, different, unrelated to the experiences we have of a stressful day. And I'm going to give you an example in a minute. But Jesus tells us to come to him if we're weary and burdened and get his rest. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's what we read, isn't it? Do we think that's true? Do we believe that? Let me read you something from this rather lovely book, which I have to confess, Simon, I took from the office. Sorry. I will give it back in a minute. I just thought this was really interesting. I've started reading the Gospel of Mark in a new translation, just bit by bit. If you think Jesus wasn't under pressure, read a gospel in a few chunks and have a look at what this great man of God, this man, was doing as a man in his work. I'm just going to literally read it from here. So this is from Luke 8. Jesus and the disciples go in a boat. Jesus falls asleep. He's exhausted, so exhausted that a storm can't wake him up. He then is woken by panicking disciples and he has to quell the storm. He gets onto the opposite shore and exorcises a demon-possessed man. He brings ruin to a local farmer, whose herd of pigs then crash into the lake. Then the fearful people chase him away and ask him to leave. He's hardly gone back across the lake than he finds a man called Jairus pleading with him to visit his dying daughter. En route, he's mobbed and his garment touched by one with bleeding, whom he stops, ministers to, and heals. Then Jairus' daughter dies. He's told not to bother, but still presses on. He arrives, shuts up the funeral wailers and said she's asleep, not dead, and raises her from the dead. It is all here. Exhaustion, loneliness, travelling, catching up on sleep, interrupted sleep, demanding friends, fear of failure, taunts of the worldly wise. Have a look at Jesus when you're struggling at work. And when you read these words, come to me if you're wearied and burdened, do it with confidence that he knows how you feel. He really knows. We have one who is not unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? Jesus lived in the authority of a person convinced of his calling and convinced of the power of God. He said, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. When you go to work tomorrow, if you go to work tomorrow, know that you're called, know that you're sent, and know that God is with you. It will make so much difference to how it feels. It will really strengthen the spring. I'm going to mention calling again at the end in a minute. And then secondly, this lovely passage in Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Sorry, 4 to 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, present your request to God. Friends, that includes our work. It doesn't have to look holy to be worth bringing to God to make a difference. I don't know what examples you might think about if you just pause and think, when have I prayed about a situation at work? I spoke to a lovely lady this morning. She said to me, Maggie, sometimes I just pray that a meeting will get cancelled so I get a break. And God graciously cancels the meeting and I get a break. I've prayed at work for an invitation to speak about a situation, knowing that I don't have a right to, and asking God to open an opportunity to say something about a situation that is changing. I wonder what the situation is in your work that you need to just pause and pray about and say, Lord, what do I do here? They're all horrible at work. What do I do? How do I be in this setting? And you notice I've highlighted a few words on this because it really struck me when I read this. Here are the characteristics of the Christian under pressure. Be glad. Be gentle. Be faithful. Know that God will bless you with peace, even in the middle of it. Amazing promises. And again, just in this book. So here's a real life example. If you think I've not quite experienced the heights of business and you want somebody who has, this is a great book from somebody who's been really, really seriously employed, Ken Koster. But he quotes somebody in here who's had a really tough time. He set up a business. It was a bit of a disaster. He was losing money. The family were struggling because they were dependent. They'd remortgaged. And he just says, I began to pray. The effect of this praying was quite amazing. When I was really going through the stressful patch, I would not stop praying until I felt filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know how to define that except to say I felt confident and relaxed during each day that things were going to turn out okay. Here I was, an entrepreneur running out of money in the middle of a recession, realizing I didn't really have a clue what I was doing or what my product was, and yet feeling quite relaxed about it. Isn't that amazing? People started saying, you look well, you look younger, you look healthier. It's great stuff, this praying. Couldn't get over it. I can honestly say I went through the hardest time of my life professionally, and I felt younger at the end of it. What an amazing testimony of the goodness of God in response to his praying. And actually, it changed his life because he began to have huge compassion for people struggling with money and with work, and developed a ministry around that. So that was an amazing outcome. I was just thinking a couple of examples of times when we've really needed to see God at work. And just in our family, we've got 8 adults in our family. We've got 4 children married to 4 other people. So that's 8 adults at work talking about their work all the time. One of them is working for a company where she's in sales and she's very good. She's selling a lot of wood. She goes back to her base, and in her base, they're not very good at producing wood quite fast enough in the form it's meant to be in. And so there's a huge amount of pressure in the office, and things are in a bit of a meltdown. And she is hugely stressed. What did she do? She prayed for an opportunity, and she met with her bosses, actually the director, one of the directors, and said, this isn't really working. Can I change my pattern so that one day a week I don't have to go to the office, because then I can do what I need to do? And the pattern was changed. Our daughter works for the NHS. She works in a high-pressure service, really short of money. She was absolutely incensed when a very, very seriously unwell patient was turned around from her service. So she stood back, weighed what to do, and wrote, I'm glad I didn't get the letter she wrote. It will have been sharp. Wrote a letter that got him funding, that got him treatment. She didn't believe she was at work just to take what was there. She wanted to make a difference. So just practical things. So just quickly, just looking at these P's at the end. What I want you to hear is that your work matters to God, but it's not about surviving stress in the workplace. This is about kingdom victory in the workplace. What has God put you there for? What has he given you when you're in there? You may be asking the question, should you be in there? That's a good question. What are all those things? We don't probably get through all of those now, but we'll pick some of those out and just have a look. Fundamentally, I want you to know that Jesus is a model of somebody who lived with stress and yet repeatedly had patterns that sustained him, kept him close to his Father, transformed his situation, that he wasn't distracted either to following somebody else's vision or ministry for his life. So shall I just quickly go through this and just ask these questions? They all turn into a question. So thinking about yourself and stress you or people you're supporting might have at work, think about your position. Do you have power or permission to change it? If you do, what could you do? If you don't, be realistic. Go to God and say, where have you placed me in this? We have a very, very, very competent son working in an industry where he's about 3 ranks below the senior decision maker, and he's very unhappy about a big decision they've made. They've promised a product that he's pretty confident can't be done. He's weighed up whether he's in a position to change it. He's concluded he's not. So what's he going to do? He's just going to do the best he can with what he's got, work to the best standard he can. He knows he can't change it yet, but he knows that if he's diligent in his work, he'll eventually get to have a say. So where's God placed you in that structure? And that's not just in big business. That can be in lowly jobs. Where can you make a difference? Second P, what's your purpose there? Why are you there? Are you there to tent make? We say that to mean paying your bills so that you can do the stuff in life that really matters. If that's the case, that work still matters to God. People have been really well provided for by God in those jobs. I remember a famous speaker at Spring Harvest 20 years ago saying he had a job as a salesman, door-to-door salesman. He prayed every day because he needed the money, and God really blessed that job and provided for his family. What are our priorities? This is a bigger question. If work is in my life, where is everything else fitting around it? So again, one of our children, massive pressure a couple of weeks ago, and I saw a post on WhatsApp, and his wife had said, he's worked 100 hours this week. He's just bought me flowers. We're going out to Cambridge for the day tomorrow. What a sensible boy our boy is. He loves his wife. He wanted her to know it. He'd not been in all week. He knows he needs to recharge at the weekend because he's got to do it all again next week. Have a look at the balance of our lives. Get it thought about. Bring it to God. Have I got the balance right for my family, for my health, for my welfare? And somewhere in that, am I spending any time with God? Where is that happening? Fourth one, people. Where are the people I can share it with? I said before, we can get really isolated. Sometimes that's our own drive to look good in the job. Sometimes we don't want to be seen to be struggling, but it's so much better to tell somebody. Who can I share it with? Who can help me? Tell your running mates that work is tough, but don't just tell them to sympathize with each other. Tell them to change it. Tell them to pray for God to give you a vision or a picture or a word that will change the situation. And finally, prayer, bringing strength and peace. We talked about being people of peace in that reading earlier. How am I praying like Jesus prayed so that I can step aside from all of those demands in a day and go back to God and come back again calm enough that when the disciples say something stupid, I don't bite their heads off? How did he do it? He made a priority of praying with his Father. How are we doing that? It's a lot to think about, isn't it? But just pick one for today. And perhaps in the conversations with your peers, just have a chat about how that's going for you and where you need to put a bit of a priority, what God's putting his finger on for you. Now, just quickly before we close, I just wanted to put up a quick couple of pages, so again from Mind, and just to say that some people in the church, some people here, may have experienced stress to such a degree that it's made you really unwell. I'm not saying if you're really unwell, just tell your mates, try harder, ask your boss. I'm saying you might need some medical help. You might need some official support. You might want to just look at this website and just look through the symptoms that are listed on there. Have you got so anxious, so tired, so prickly with people, so disinterested that you're not even doing the job anymore? Then you need to do something now about it. And how might you behave? I think we mentioned earlier with deadlines. If you get under too much stress, you can't function because you can't think. So the closer that deadline gets, the harder it is to deliver the piece of work. What might you need to change in the light of that, and who might you need to go to for help? So I recommend that as a website just for some really simple pointers. But on this last page, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I'm just going to ask you just to stop for a minute. Now, it may be that you're thinking this is not for you, but this is for somebody close to you, and that's fine. But I just want us just to say, Lord, in this stressful world of work where people want more and more from less and less, where fewer people on poorer wages are delivering more and more of the work, where managers might be more and more remote, where demand of life is creeping into the ability to work, where systems that we work in don't have kingdom values, what is God saying to me about how to live well with this work? Just going to read those questions out for you and just ask you just to listen to what God says to you next. So where has he placed you? What's your position? Why has he put you there? Is it just for now or is it for something for the future? What can I do to strengthen the spring? What can I do with my spiritual life, with the people around me? Who can I share it with? Who could help me? And as I pray, how is God growing and changing me in this situation? Father God, we bring this all to you. For every one of us, thank you that you are with us tomorrow as much as you're with us in our worship. You love us and you send us out as ambassadors of the kingdom, but you long for us to grow in you as well. So Lord, put your finger on that thing in my life that you want me to address today. Amen.